Right, here we go. He already knows. Here we go. I'm all bumbering now, folkies.
No, I'll tell you this is a story. I'll tell you the story now. This was in my father's time, and this story happened, which was a very long time ago, and it happened in a very small village. It was a very small town in Ireland, and the people there, they lived to a great age. They lived to the age of 110 or 120. It got so bad sometimes we had to shoot some of them. By God, we did. And my father was the caretaker. He was to be the caretaker of the local cemetery, and he had to go down there about 5:30 in the morning, and he'd go into the cemetery, and he'd have to go in there with a spade, in his hand, and he'd say, "Lie down, lads, lie down now. time to be resting, lie down." But anyway, I remember the time when an American fella came into the little town where we lived. It wasn't far from the airport, considering it was such a small town, and he got in off the plane, and he saw that, oh, I'm doing the wrong voice, he saw the fella there at the airport, and you can imagine him, ladies and gentlemen, listening on Darren's audio bow, you can imagine the fella there with a queer little smile on his face, and the cap and the old pipe, and he's there at the table, surrounded by skulls, and he said, "How are you doing there, sir? You know, it's a real pleasure to be here in Ireland." And he said,
"God, that sounds like Robbie Williams."
and he said, "You know, when I rock the mic, like, I'm, what the fuck is that? You know, I wasn't expecting that." He said, "He said, no, what are you? Oh no, wrong voice." He said, "Oh well, what are you doing here, sir?" He said, "I'm living here."
He said, no, I mean, what are you doing right now?"
He said, "I'm standing here talking to you."
He said, "No, what is this? What is on this table here?"
He said, "It's a table." He said, I'm selling skulls."
"Oh, you're selling skulls?"
"No, skull, you eat it, yeah. You know, the bone in the head."
"Oh, you're selling skulls. Oh, I see. Tell me, my friend, what skulls do you have here?"
He said, "Well, I have the skulls of many famous Irish people. I had the skull of Hul Cullen, I had the skull of Brian Boru, I had the skull of Finn McCool, I had the skull of St. Patrick."
He said, now, just wait there, you funny little Irish man. Are you telling me you have the genuine skull of St. Patrick here?"
He said, "Yes, that's what I'm telling you. I wouldn't be jetting or joking or telling a word of a lie, would I, to you, sir?"
He said, "Well, I'll tell you what I'll do, my friend. I will buy that skull from you. I want to take it back to America and show it off in my Irish pub." He said, I'll give you $100 for it."
He said, "Do it again. Try again."
He said, "All right, what about $150? What's that in Irish money?"
He said, "About £300.
So anyway, he takes the skull back to America, and he has it on display in his Irish pub. Anyway, he comes back about 5 years after, and the same fella's there with the pipe and the hat and the queer little smile on his face and the little spring in his step because he sees another Yankee coming. And he says, "How are you doing there, sir? It's great to be back in our land again." He said, "What are you doing, sir?"
He said, "I'm living here."
He said, "I know you're living here, but what are you doing today?"
He said, "I'm standing talking to you, you idiot."
He said, no, well, what are you doing right now?"
He said, "I'm selling skulls."
"Oh, you're still selling skulls. Okay, well, what skulls do you have today?"
He said, "Well, I have the skull of Brian O'Driscoll."
"Well, he's not dead yet."
"Well, he soon will be if he keeps getting kicked around like that. I have the skull of Brian Boru. I have the skull of Jimmy Savile. I know he's not Irish, but we're sacrificing him later. I have the skull of Rolf Harris."
"But he's not dead yet either."
"I know, but he will be by about 12 o'clock tonight. I have the skull of St. Patrick. I have the skull..."
"Now, hold on a second," he says. "Hold on just there, you funny little patty puncher. You've got... you've got the skull of St. Patrick. Well, I bought that skull from you about 5 years ago. And it was a bigger skull than that."
Oh, I remember, sir. "Well, you see, this is the skull of St. Patrick when he was just a wee boy." God bless you, good night. Thanks for coming.
Oh, dear.
Brilliant.
Yeah. Go on and do us another one, then.
All right, well, obviously, you've all been to a pub at some point in your lives. It doesn't have to be an Irish pub, but you've been to a pub, and you've seen the drunks stand there. You know, they've been there since the early hours, been there since about 12 o'clock, and they're sculling the pints. And sure, they think they're on the pull, but if you're a woman in the house, you wouldn't cross the road to look at them, you know.
But anyway, there's three drunks standing at the bar. I overheard this, and I went in there to get a glass of orange squash. And the first one, he has the look on his face, and you know the look. I mean, he looks like he's lost a tenner and found 5p. You know, he's just it looks like he's got it hanging out the back of his throat. You know, he's standing there, and his friend says, "Hey," he says, "Michael." He says, What's wrong with you? You have a face on you like a smacked arse. He says, What's wrong with you? He says, Well, I'll tell you. As long as me. Would you hold it in there, Michael?
That's so sorry. I know that my wife is having an affair.
He says, having an affair? Having an affair? Why do you know she's having an affair?
He said, well, I'll tell you. I came home, didn't I, the other day? I came home early. I'd been here in the pub.
I'd seen you here in the pub with me. You came in here.
He said, well, I was in there. I had a little drink, I will admit. I'd had about 10 or 12. And I came home, and I walked up to the bedroom, and didn't I see... A wrench under the bed.
A wrench? What a fucking wrench.
You know, a wrench like that a plumber would have. So I knew she was having an affair with a plumber. I said, yes, no, you're right. You're right, so you are. And the second drunk, now he's starting to look a bit upset. And
I said, well, what's wrong with you? You know, you've not even touched her point.
He said, well, I'll tell you, my wife must be having an affair. I came home only yesterday, and I had a little drink, I must admit. I'd only had about 17 or 18. And I went upstairs into the bathroom before bed for a little bit of a shower and a shave and a shave. And I went out of the bathroom and into the bed, and didn't I see it there? Didn't I see a saw under the bed? So I worked it out. My wife's having an affair with a carpenter.
Well, she must be having an affair with the carpenter. I mean, I've heard a saw and wood in the bedroom, but that's ridiculous. Anyway, the third drunk, he doesn't even wait to tell him his story. He's off, he's out the door. He says, hey, where are you going? Sean, where are you going? You've not even paid for your drink.
He says, I know, but my wife's having an affair.
He says, well, stop, tell us all about it. How do you know?
He said, well, I know for a fact my wife's having an affair with a horse.
He says, a horse? How do you know she's having an affair with a horse?
He said, because this afternoon when I got home from work, I found her in bed with a jockey. But the funny thing was, friends, as he was walking out of the pub, we noticed he had the door of his house tucked under his arm. And he said, well, why have you got the door tucked under your arm? He said, well, I've got the door tucked under my arm in case I'm after forgetting the key. So I brought the door out with me to make sure I get in.
He said, well, what happens if you forget to take the door home?
He said, well, don't be worrying about that. I left the window open as well.
I've got a story for you. I might have told you, I think Vicky's heard it, but I don't know if you and Darren have heard it, Salt. I don't think Jack has. Well, it's in Wales, don't you know?
All right.
Right. Well, there's a couple of young ladies. Now, they come walking in the Welsh mountains every summer. There are a couple of friends who have been friends from high school, you know, and on their gap year before university. So, they come walking in the Welsh mountains, and it's a very hot day in August.
Did they not take their tops off?
Well, they did like to romp, yes.
They like to romp in the fields.
But they came to a reservoir in the mountains, and it was a very deep reservoir because a month ago it had a lot of rain, you see.
Oh, a lot of rain, did it?
Yes. But this August was a nice hot one, very nice weather. Well, these ladies, they were a bit tired, a bit hot. So they decided to strip. There was no one about and have a swim in the reservoir. So they took off their clothes, every single thing, including their knickers, and got into the water.
God love them.
So they had a nice swim. Then they decided to have a dry in the sun before going back to their hotel for supper.
And a glass of porter for mother.
But so that curious eyes wouldn't see things that they would rather they didn't, they covered their private parts up with two slabs of slate.
Do you mean their post office books?
Indeed.
Oh,
well, it so happened that a shepherd and his son were walking on the ridge above the reservoir, but they were hidden by a row of pine trees. However, the trees allowed them to have an excellent view down the mountain. And below them, they saw these fine, naked young women. And now, his son, being a young teenager, about 13 or 14 or so, was a little bit curious about women, and his dad decided it was time to give him a bit of sex education.
The front legs go in the back, Willie.
So he turned to his son and said, "Now, boy, those women aren't the same as women were when I was a young lad like you." And the boy said, "Well, why is that then, Da? How can women have changed just 50 years after you were a lad then?" And the shepherd says, "Well, son, when I was a lad, women weren't tiled. Oh, no, they were thatched." Don't know that my Welsh accent is much to go by, but never mind.
Oh, well, I know you'd have to be careful if you took one of those women home these days, Di. Because if you do, and you make love in the garden, as you tend to do on a summer night, you've got to be very careful, because they tend to scream a bit. And sometimes, you know, they'll think it's lambing season, and all the men will be down like whippets up a drain pipe. Can't do a Welsh accent.
Did you like that bit?
Yeah, I don't remember it, though.
Did you find it funny,
though? When did you think you told me?
Oh, months and months ago.
I'll tell you, just so we don't leave anybody out, I'll tell you an English story. And this was a fine, upstanding young man. As most Englishmen are, of course. And this young man was a pharmacist. And he'd been courting his lover, young Jane, for these past three summers.
Are you waiting for this?
Now, he decided. He and Jane had talked it over, for many a night, over a Bakewell tartlet, and perhaps an episode of Gardener's Question Time. And they decided that Friday night was going to be the first night that they would partake of sexual intercourse. And so, the young man looked to his father for advice, but his father, being an upstanding English gentleman, was far too embarrassed. So the young man turned to his boss at the pharmacy, and he said, "Boss, I need some advice." And he said, "Oh, yes, young Jim, what advice?" He said, "Well, tonight, myself and my partner, my girlfriend, as we used to call them in the bygone days of yore, are going to have sexual intercross," he said. Or motocross, or whatever you call it. I know she's got mud guards between her legs, but that's another story, he said. "Now, I need a few tips," he said. I know, for one thing, you have to use protection. I don't know how to go about it." Well, to cut a long story short, my friends, his boss gave him all the information that he needed. And young Jim went to meet Jane's parents. For, as English tradition dictates, you must meet the parents before you get her into trouble. Well, anyway, they were sitting around the tea table and the sausage rolls had been served. And Jim said, "Before we start to eat, may I say grace?" And Jane's mother and father thought, what a lovely man. What a nice man, you know, to want to say grace before tea. Anyway, again, to cut a long story short, the deed was done and they were lying in bed together, sipping from their mugs of cocoa, trying to decide how they were going to pitch the tentpole for the night. And he said, she, Jane looked at Jim and she said, "My goodness, I never knew you were so religious." And the way you were crying out, oh my God, during your moment of climax, I never knew you were so religious. And Jim turned to her. He put his arm around her. He looked deep into her eyes. And he said, "Oh, I never knew your father was a fucking pharmacist."
Yeah, but the other ones are the best, though.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
I like some of the old ones though. I can't remember like what you can though, but yeah.
I had much practice.
Mm. I can tell.
And you come from a family of comedians. They're not on stage or nothing, they're just the laughing stuff.
Yeah. Well, I'll pause this for a bit.
Yeah.
Until you want to do some more.
Yes. We might do some music in a bit.
It's a very good idea.
Aye. Right, recording again, folks.
Let's start off with a nice traditional little English song. In the good old days of yore, when we were under the king, lived a miller and a tailor and a little weaver, three jolly rogues of men, three jolly rogues of men, three jolly rogues of men. Lived a miller and a weaver and a little tailor, three jolly rogues of men. Now the miller, he's still corn, and the weaver, he's still yarn, and the little tailor, he's still more tall, to keep these three rogues warm, to keep these three rogues warm, to keep these three rogues warm, and the little tailor, he's still more tall, to keep these three rogues warm. And now the miller was drowned in his dam, and the weaver was hung on his yard, and the devil put his foot on the little tailor. I forgot the last bit. And dragged him off through hell, and dragged him off through hell, and dragged him off through hell, and the little tailor was squashed by the devil, and someone's coming through the door. Oh, yes, I'll just wait for the ladies to get settled. Some Kenneth.
No.
This is the first time you've been at my classic.
Beautiful guitar.
It's nice.
Mm. I love guitar music, though.
Wonderful, isn't it?
Good girl.
There's something... incidentally, Darren, about it.
Incidentally, Darren, if you like guitar music, my new CD came out on Tuesday. cdbaby.com/cd/jackscrimshaw.
Is it on Amazon?
No.
It will be in a few weeks.
Oh, good.
I hope.
Oh. Maybe you put it on iTunes.
Again, it will be in a few weeks, I hope.
Oh, cool.
Joey was a young wrangler. Munging grievels did he go, and he loved a bogler's daughter by the name of Chiswick Flo. Vain she was, and like a gruffet, and her gander parts were fine, but she sneered at his corwangel as he'd hung upon the line. So he stole her waters moolie for to make a wedding a ring, but the Bow Street runners called him, and the shroud said, "You'll swing." Oh, they hung him. Why the fuck off by the foster? Nailed his newly to the fence for to
and it was a brave offence. So the moral of the story, though your quarter wangler before keep your hands off others' moodies, for it is against the law. Now for a song from across the water. Now you're all familiar with the Catholic monument known as Lourdes.
Aye, yeah.
I'm going to sing you a song about a fellow who wouldn't know Lourdes if he walked over it barefoot. In the mean abode on the Shanghill Road lived a man named William Bloat. And he had a wife, the bane of his life. She always got his goat. And late one night, with her nightdress on, he slit her bloody throat. With a razor gash, he settled her hash, and he left her stiff and still. Till suddenly we are at the angry law, filled the soul with an awful chill. And to finish the fun so well begun, he decided himself for to kill. Well, he took the sheet from his wife's cold feet and he twisted it into a rope. And he hanged himself from the pantry shelf, was an easy endless bore. In the jaws of death, with his dying breath, he suddenly cursed the Pope. But the story here that I have just told, it is far from the end or beginning. For he went to hell, wife got well, and she's still alive and sinning. For her razor blade was British made, but the rope was Belfast linen.
Here you go.
Okay. Another Kenneth Williams song.
I like Kenneth Williams. Yeah. He's the absolute best.
Ye nerks and bogles of Bonnie Glen Pustule, oft have I grieved among your trees and whirled my lassie amongst your nettles. Sworn my devotion and stung both my knees. We brambled and bogled and bogled and brambled. I grotted me muckles to Bonnie Wee Joe. But now she has gone with a plumber from Sidcup.
That is kind.
And I have to lie there and whirl alone. What do you think of that,
Leon?
He's always...
I've got to say...
Linguistically, he was very clever.
Got a really happy dog here, and the best part about it is, every time he wags his tail, he's hitting me left knee, and he's hitting it in rhythm. It's
up. Well done, Eddie.
Young Eddie. That sounded good, that.
I don't know, yeah, it did sound
good. Eddie, settle, please.
Starry, starry night.
Oh, yes. Sit, Eddie.
Paint your palette one frame. Look out on a summer's day with eyes to know the darkness in my soul. Shadows on the hills. Sketch the trees and daffodils.
breeze and the winter chills in colors of the snowy red hillland. Now I understand what you tried to say to me, how you suffered for your sanity, how you tried to set them free. They would not listen, they did not know how. Perhaps they'll listen. Lovers often do, but I could have told you, Vincent, this world was never meant for one as beautiful as you. Starry, starry night, portraits hung in empty halls, nameless heads on nameless walls, with eyes that watch the world and can't forget, like the strangers that you met. The ragged men in ragged clothes, silver thorn in bloody rose, lies crushed and broken on the virgin snow. Now I think I know you tried to say to me, how you suffered for your sanity, how you tried to set them free. They would not listen, they're not listening still. Perhaps they never will.
That song there.
One of these ladies in the corner was singing very sweetly to that.
Wasn't it?
Well, I heard somebody doing it.
Sultan.
Trying to get away with it. Yes, it was. Yes. You have a very sweet voice. Yeah, want to hear some more of that.
Here you go, Jack.
All right, young man.
Another couple for you.
I do like to sing, I just don't do anything.
Well, oh, you should singing is wonderful.
Sing with us, you know, at the end of the day, we're folk singers.
Yeah.
You know, folk doesn't demand opera grade.
No, it don't.
Hopefully not.
Any Christa Berg fans?
Yes.
Yeah. Right. I'm not, but I can.
Do something that's more obscure.
No, okay. It was just something that came to me.
Thank you.
great lord came walking through the forest one morning with a weapon in his hand. Rich was his custom, he lacked for nothing, but killing was his plan. When the white bird flew by, she fell from the sky. Nothing was found, only blood on the ground. She was gone. Cursing his fortune, he turned to the forest for to kill once again. Standing before him was a lovely young woman with her head hung in pain. When he saw her, his eyes were filled with desire. He said, I must have her, she must be mine. She will be mine. He offered her silver, he offered her gold, but she threw his on the ground. Fell to his knees, and he begged her, oh, please come with me, what you wish will be found, I hear. She said, sir, I'll go, if you'll put up your bow, and spare these creatures, leave them in peace. You have no need, but words were lost in his eyes were fixed on a queen, and all he saw was a woman, and all she was a dream. Oh, la da da, la da 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 da. All he saw was the woman. All she was a dream. He took her and bound her, tied ropes all around her to a castle he did ride. In a wood was a bower where stood an old tower, and he threw her deep inside. Then the birds left the sky, and a terrible cry, but thunder and lightning and rain falling down, tears on the ground. All through the days on her face he would gaze, for she was lovely as the spring. No word would she speak, but leave them in peace, and some sad lament he won't sing. Oh, one day by the door, at the window, he saw a single white feather was lying on the floor. She was there no more. Now that great lord is dying, his cold heart is crying for the love of the girl. For many an hour he has wept on the tower, for she meant more than the world. And once in the sky the white bird flew by, he lifted his hand and he cried out in pain. All he has is a memory, and all he
That was good. Wow. That was good.
That's one I've never heard before.
No.
What's that one called?
It's called a tower.
Well, I like hearing stuff like that I've heard before.
I like his more fairy tale type ballads.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's from an album called Spanish Train and Other Stories, and they're all like that.
Oh.
All stories.
I mean, I don't mind the likes of Lady in Red, but it's so poppy.
No, that's on another one. What's that?
I said, I don't mind Lady in Red, but it's so poppy.
Yeah, and you know, that's not the real version. The real version's all canon.
Do you not like pop then, Darren?
I don't mind it. But
it's actually a piano song.
Yeah.
Yep.
Ooh.
Oh, go on, let's sing it. Well, if you help me out, we'll sing it.
He didn't do the original.
Yeah, he did, but it was all piano.
Yeah, well,
wasn't a pop song.
I've not heard that.
Oh, it's gorgeous. I'll play it on Monday.
Cool. Okay.
Monday.
Radio show.
Oh yeah.
I know it's not in the right key, but...
Never seen you looking so gorgeous as you did tonight. Never seen you shine so bright. Never seen so many men ask you if you wanted to dance. Looking for a little romance. Given half the chance. I have never seen that dress you wear, or the highlights in your hair, they catch your eyes. I have been blind, lady in red, is dancing with me, cheek to cheek, it's nobody.
Try to catch me. Yeah, there you go.
Son of a bitch. And they were singing so goddamn pretty. Such a feeling of complete and utter love. Fuck stars in their eyes. Lady in red.
I'm waiting for a kind of one.
He's dancing with me. Cheek to cheek. It's nobody. Just you and me, where I want to be, but I hardly know this beauty by my side. Ooh, I'll never forget the way you look tonight.
Oh, nice. Nice one, girls. Did you join in there too, Vic?
Yes.
No.
Yes, I thought you did. I heard you.
They were both going at it.
Shall I have another?
Yes, go on, sir. Yep.
I'm going to do another funny one.
Good man.
Well done, and this, sir. Thank you. This song was originally done for piano in the 1970s by a duo called Flanders and Swan.
Who I love this.
Had texts like that.
Yeah. Oh, I say, you're doing that one, aren't you?
Mars out, Pars out, let's talk food. Beepo, belly, bum, draw.
I thought he was going to do the other one.
Darn. Sorry?
I thought we were going to do the hippo one, old chap.
Yeah, well, we're going to do the hippo
one. I'm going to have to start again now.
What were you saying, Vic?
I said, are you doing this one? And then I thought, and I was like, why? And I said, well, I'm not saying, but you'll find out.
Okay, go on. Oh, don't
be a spoiler sport, eh? Mars out. Mars out, let's talk rude. Peepo, belly, bum, draws. Dance in the garden, in the nude. Peepo, belly, bum, draws. Let's write rude words all down our street. Stick out our tongues at the people we meet. Let's have an intellectual treat. Peepo, belly, bum, draws. Sunday again on CBC. Peepo, belly, bum, draws. And Norman Mailer is coming to tea. Peepo, belly, bum, pants. Alan Ginsberg on and on, but we're having a happening when he's gone. Come to the party in the John. Peepo, belly, bum, draws. Disney's having a double bill. Peepo, belly, bum, draws. Christopher Robin meets Fanny Hill. On stage and screen, we all work hard, throwing toilet rolls in our own backyard. Who's afraid of the avant-garde? Peepo, belly, bum, draws. What wins the prizes and wins awards?
Brucey.
Peepo, belly, bum, draws.
Yes.
What did Prince Philip tell the lords?
Fuck off!
Well, never mind that. At Oxford, Cambridge and Yale and all, and at Berkeley they really have a ball.
Bloody
for
sucks.
The higher the brow, the harder they fall. With Peepo, belly, bum,
draws. I say a little bit well.
What do you think? No,
it's probably fine.
It's not even that rude, is it?
No.
No.
I've just realised the window's open. Do you think we're disturbing anybody?
Well, I might be enjoying it.
It's probably a bloody audience outside, you know.
I'm a bit deaf. I should get a bit closer.
We've only got people on the left anyway. We've not on our right, is there? We're at the end.
But do you think, you know, anyone would have been offended by any... Well, I don't
think so. I don't think so.
Well, they've not been that rude.
I don't even know.
No, yeah. We will be.
I'm sure they've heard worse.
Well, also, they're only silly, you know.
Well, they've probably done worse.
Ah, go on.
Ah, go on. Did you get... Do a really rude one there.
I really want that one.
No.
Should I close the window? Or
no, go on.
Was on board the good ship Venus. My God, you should have seen us. Our figurehead was a horrid maid, and our mast was a rampant Venus. Ringing in the ringing.
Yeah,
tossing on the crossing,
working on the pledges,
there's fuck all else to do. The captain of the lugger, as well as a filthy bugger, declared unfit to shovel shit from one heap to another. Freeing in the ring, tossing on the crossing, working on the pledges. There's fuck all else to do. The first mate's name was Morgan.
Oh,
dirty-minded Gorgon. From 8:30 he'd play till late upon the captain's organ. Ringing in the ring, tossing on the crossing, whacking on the black end. There's fuck all else to do. The bosun Bolton's name was Andy. Bastard Bolton Bandy. He filled his bum with boiling rum for coming in our brandy. Bringing in the rain. Tossing on the crossing. Wanking on the blanking. There's fuck all else to do.
Oh, you are laughing.
Cabin boy's name was Nipper, a filthy little flipper. He filled his ass with powdered glass, circumcised skipper. Bringing in the rain, tossing on the crossing, wanking on the flanking. There's fuck all else to do.
Best of order, please.
The captain's wife was Charlotte. Born and bred a harlot.
Well.
Her thighs at night were lily white. By morning they were scarlet. Bringing in the rain. Tossing on the crossing. Wacking on the packing. There's fuck all else to do. The captain's daughter Mabel. Yeah. She'd do it where'er she was able. On the floor behind the door and on the charring table.
Yes!
Ringing in the rain. Tossing on the crossing. Wanking on the planking. There's fuck all else to do. Well, the captain's youngest daughter got washed into the water. Delighted squeals announced that eels had found possessional water. Ringing in the rain, tossing on the crossing, wanking on the planking, there's fuck all else to do. The ship's cook's name was Freeman, evil-minded demon. He fed the crew on mental stew and Hyman's fried steam.
Tossing on the crossing,
wanking on the crossing. The ship's name was Rover. We turned that poor thing over and ground that faithful hound from Tenerife to Dover. Bringing in the ring.
Gods!
Tossing on the crossing. Wanking on the planking. There's fuck all else to do. Is well, on the coast of the Chinese nation. To everyone's consternation.
Oh, frock!
We sank a junk with a wave of spunk.
Oh, shit!
From mutual masturbation. Bringing in the ring. Tossing on the crossing, ranking on the ranking, there's fuck all else to do. Ringing in the ringing, tossing on the crossing, ranking on the planking, there's fuck all else to do.
5-5, please.
Oh, God. The funny thing is that this, barking at the right bloody time.
I thought that was brilliant. The ship's dog's name was Rover. Woof! Yeah! I just had to think of people on audio doing things.
That was brilliant, that laugh.
Oh, that is brilliant.
Oh, fucking hell. Oh, shit. Oh, yeah, mate.
Oh, no.
She started barking at that.
Yeah, she did.
Won't people take that dodgily on audio?
Who cares?
Well, then I have to listen to it.
Tell you what, I've got a good follow up to this one.
Okay.
I don't think you're capable. Right, so best of order in the house, please, everybody. Yeah, exactly. This is going to be a country song.
Ah, yeah.
From big old Jack Scrimshaw. I put the cunt in country music.
Hello, Eddie.
Well, friends, my grandma's a cripple in Nashville. Friends, the story I tell you is true. One day she went out on her wheelchair
never known it had a loose screw. Well, friends, she sat out on that wheelchair, and on three wheels it trundled away, and it trundled right over the edge of a cliff in an old seaside town far away. Now this has a chorus, friends. I'd like you to learn this chorus and sing along with me, if you would please. It's very simple. It goes like this. Adiole, adiole, adiole. Very good, friends. That's wonderful. That does my heart good. Well, the boy who was pushing that wheelchair, friends, was a little blind orphan called Joe. And he said, oh, he cried, where's my grandma? I don't know. And where the fuck did that damn wheelchair go? Well, friends, he sat out looking for that wheelchair. But his poor sightless eyes, they led him astray. He walked right over the edge of a cliff in the old seaside town far away. Sing. Adiole, adiole, adiole. Well, they sent for an ambulance and a doctor. For the poor people, I do suppose. And the people in the town gathered round, and they cried and they bawled. B-A-W-L-E-D, no smuts, family. To see what there could to be done. Well, friends, as I'm sitting here, that ambulance came rushing, and the doctor came a-rushing that same day. But the two, they came a-rushing two different ways in the old seaside town far away. They ran into each other. Adiole, adiole, adiole. Sounds like the Mormon tubercular choir, friends. Well, they sent for brave old Father Maloney. For the poor souls to repose.
Nice world notification.
And the priest said, well, now that we're here, my good people, we might as well pray, I suppose. But people had gathered and the edge of the cliff gave way. They shot down with a yell. They all shot straight to hell. God bless you, Slim Whitman. In that old seaside town far away. Last time, friends. Adiole, adiole, adiole. Thank you, friends. Seriously, are there any real country fans here?
Yeah, I do like country.
Oh, excellent. Right. I like this. Good.
Oh, man.
Bloody hell, that made the chair vibrate.
Oh, come on now.
Friends, I'm going to start that intro again. Because the serene moment was ruined by some, a member of our congregation parting with a bodily function. Amen.
Holy shit.
Come and lay by.
little darling. Come and lay your head down on my brow. Promise me that you will never be nobody's darling but mine. Be nobody's darling but mine, love. Be honest, be faithful, be kind. Promise me that you will never be nobody's darling but mine. You're sweet as flowers in the springtime. You're as pure as I'd rather be nobody's darling than a poor boy that nobody knows. Be nobody's darling but my love. Be honest, be faithful, be kind. Promise me that you will never be nobody's darling but mine.
That was good. Well, I'm gonna